From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. You're listening to The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
In the words of our last great Irish president, there he goes again. Joe Biden pulled off a rare trifecta today. Not only did he fall down a set of steps, true. Not only did he reveal his blatant racism slash bigotry by stating that he's not really Irish because he doesn't have relatives in jail. He threatened to hit somebody. "I'll smack you if you do that. Now smile," were the exact words. That's a rare trifecta from a president. And it evidences to me full stage dementia. Whether it's Alzheimer's, whether it's non-vascular dementia, whatever he's got it bad. He cannot control his temper. He is physically compromised. He can't navigate a set of stairs either up or down. He wanders off, has to be pointed in the correct direction by the Easter Bunny. And he turns the simplest sentence into an absolute word salad. Corinne Jean-Pierre said that he was going to take questions. Of course, he didn't. And it's probably just as well, because he has made America a laughing stock on the world stage. And the only reason he was able to be installed, because we all know he wasn't elected, was because there's a complicit media that lies to the American people on the daily. Said to my brother just this afternoon, we were watching the NCAA and a Pfizer ad came on. My brother and sister-in-law both work in the medical industry. And my sister-in-law flipped out at this ad. She's like, "I'm so sick of COVID-19 and Pfizer. I wish these people were in prison for their lies and all the deaths they've caused." My brother and sister are awake. Unfortunately, most people aren't. And my brother looked at me and goes, "How can they get away with it?" And I pointed to the television. I said, "Because every single thing that comes out of that screen is a lie. It's either an overt lie, spewing disinformation, spewing propaganda, or it's a lie of omission. It's a lie by censoring the truth or by telling only half the truth, or in most instances, only a tenth of the truth." And the problem is that too many people believe everything that comes out of that box. They have literally been brainwashed. As Ronald Reagan also famously said, it's not that our friends on the left are wrong. It's simply that everything they know happens not to be true. And that's where we are. Literally every single thing these people believe is either a lie or based on a lie. We've got yet another Democrat hate hoax revealed. Today's Juicy Smollier Award goes to the black man arrested over neo-Nazi and lynching graffiti at the Black Atlanta Church. Remember that? We had neo-Nazi and lynching graffiti at a black Atlanta church. Oh, those white supremacists. Yep, turns out to be another black man. Every single time in the last 5 years that there's been racist graffiti at a black church or a black business or whatever it is. Every single time. I mean, think of the mind that has to create a story and think of the preparation that went into the lie. Dave Chappelle skewered Juicy Smollier brilliantly on stage when he was portraying the two white cops that were taking Juicy's story. So you're out in Chicago at 3 a.m. It was 5 degrees. And you're going to the subway. You mean the sandwich shop? Yeah, okay. And these two guys came up, white guys, wearing MAGA caps. And they put a noose around your neck. And then they threw bleach on you. And then they said it's MAGA country. I mean, what kind of mind comes up with a lie like that? A very sick, very disturbed mind. That's what kind of mind? So there's the mentally ill, and Juicy is clearly mentally ill. And then there's the downright evil. Pfizer and the CDC withheld evidence of myocarditis after the gene jab was administered. We've got the receipts now. We've got the documents proving that they knew about it and they withheld that evidence from regulators. That needs to be a felony carrying a very, very, very long prison term. Until people are prosecuted, convicted, and sentenced to very long prison terms, I don't see anything getting any better anytime soon. I'm Timothy Shea. This is The Reckoning. Don't miss out on a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download, keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
Keeping the commitment 24/7.
I come to you for facts. I really appreciate what you and your team do.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
In an approach to combating crime and homelessness, Los Angeles Metro has taken to blasting classical music at one of its stations. Here with the full story, joining me now is TNT Radio News producer Adam Clark.
Thanks, Timothy. I happen to be a fan of classical music, so I'm not so sure this tactic would work on me. But they do indeed have classical music blasting from the public speakers all throughout the Los Angeles Metro station at the West Lake MacArthur Park stop. It's part of a new plan hoping to drive down crime and increase ridership. It's their Metro's Red Line. It runs from downtown Los Angeles to North Hollywood. This is a bit of a pilot program, as it's being described. Not only do they want to, of course, deter criminal activity, for some reason, they want to reduce police calls, maybe because they're running out. Sure, they never show up on time. All right, so Metro officials said in a February statement, quote, many of you have noticed that we're playing music over the public address speakers, as do many other types of businesses and municipalities. The idea is to create an atmosphere that is comfortable for spending short amounts of time transiting through our station, but not conducive to hours-long loitering, end quote. Metro officials additionally said they will be monitoring the volume of the music as well as customer feedback. Now, one Twitter user at the station on March 15th, with classical music blaring in the background, I guess they did a video thing, described it as an anti-homeless playlist, tagging it, saying an anti-homeless playlist. Playing at Westlake MacArthur. Okay, so classical music blaring is anti-homeless playlist. So the type of music chosen, according to Stephen Hamel, an assistant professor of music at the University of California, Irvine, is strategic on Metro's part and is not a new tactic. Many cities worldwide have adopted this approach to preventing loitering, which was first introduced, believe it or not, in 1985 by a Canadian 7-Eleven store. 7-Eleven stores, I've noticed there have been some headlines with them doing such a thing back in May 2018, right there in California, Modesto. Again, making headlines at the beginning of this year in January in Texas, a 7-Eleven doing that. And right there in Los Angeles, 7-Eleven stores who are susceptible to theft did this back in 2019 with the intention to discourage loitering and homelessness. Now, according to Hamel, this falls in the realm of what's described or called, quote-unquote, hostile architecture. such as, for example, a park bench that's split in half with an armrest, which would prevent a homeless person from sleeping on it. He says, speaking to the Epoch Times, quote, "It's alienating music on purpose. It's the musical equivalent of turning up the heat to a relatively intolerable temperature," end quote. Now, I might interject, since I had said I'm a fan of classical music, I remember back in 2019, all over the news, a Florida city was reported for doing something similar, except they played nonstop the children's song Baby Shark. And OMG, that would definitely have me running out of there in a heartbeat. But yeah, they're doing this, Timothy, because crime, homelessness, things are up. They say here that in addition to playing Mozart, Bach, and Beethoven, man, that sounds so nice to me, the pilot program will also have so-called ambassadors stationed at transportation hubs to offer aid to passengers, address concerns, and cultivate a welcoming environment, according to Metro officials, as well as outreach teams to connect the homeless with housing resources. So a very proactive approach there. But yeah, what do you think the classical music would drive you away, Timothy?
Well, it would have driven away my dear departed mother. I was playing Mozart Symphony number 41, the Jupiter Symphony, one time when I was a teenager, and heard yelled from the bottom of the stairs, "Turn that noise down!" So it's like, okay, greatest symphony ever written, noise. Okay, got it. Might have worked on her. Maybe it's going to work if they play Schoenberg, right? That atonal stuff that is just painful to listen to. There's a fraternity in my college. Every pledge year, they would use music torture. They would pick some inane, insufferable pop song. "Come on, Eileen," by Dexys Midnight Runners was one year. Songs like that, and they would literally play them on a loop for 24 hours, and these poor guys had to listen to be in a room, locked in a room for 24 hours, all night long, all day long, listening to "Come on, Eileen," and it became like their bonding thing, right? So in years future, whenever they'd hear that song, they would, you know, laugh about it, etc. I think this is just another example, Adam, of leftists trying to address a symptom, homeless and drug addicts on the metro, than to actually roll up their sleeves and do the hard work of solving the problem, which, by the way, they created. So this is virtue signaling, and the giveaway, the fact that they're hiring ambassadors, because everything has to be a jobs program, because these people can't get employed if government doesn't employ them for this DEI, ESG nonsense.
That's a good point. You know, that let's defund the police, but then is it really defunding, or is it just moving the money somewhere else to the DEI police, as it were, right?
As George Carlin famously said, it's a big club. And you and I are not in it, Adam. What do you think of our president and his triple play today? He fell down a set of stairs. He yelled at somebody, and then he exposed his bigotry again by saying he's not really Irish because he doesn't have relatives in jail.
All right. Yeah, no, that was pretty funny.
Another Biden trifecta.
So is it, so correct me here, or let me know, is he blood, is he Irish? Is he actually Irish?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. No, that's just,
well, he's,
yeah,
the whole, he's Irish Catholic, but funny. He grew up in a mostly Hispanic Polish neighborhood, and he went to an historically black university. Of course, none of those three things are true. The Polish neighborhood, the mostly Hispanic neighborhood, and the HBU are all lies, but it is true that he is Irish, much to our chagrin.
So I had to ask, because he's known for lying about everything else. I just wanted to be sure. I don't know if he's submitted anything to 23andMe or Ancestry.com.
Well, you know, that's actually a good point. Maybe he's not really Irish. Who knows with this guy? Who knows? But it's just, and of course, they said he was going to take questions, and he didn't, which is clearly just an attempt to keep him from embarrassing himself and the Democrats again.
Well, he's got his son Hunter Biden to do that for him, Timothy.
He does. And I, you know, the early money is on his niece being the fourth Biden that took a slice of the 3.3 that was wired to Rob Walker in 2017. We've already got James, Hunter, and Haley on the hook. And I'm waiting to see who the fourth one is. But meanwhile, Donald Trump is back on Facebook for the first time since they ended his ban. They ended his ban a while ago, but he just hasn't used it. Now he just posted today, I'm back. But Apple took his number one song. I don't know if you've heard it, Adam, but there's an amazing song out with the president reciting the Pledge of Allegiance and interspersed with patriotic song. And it was number one on iTunes for a week. And then Apple mysteriously took it down, which cratered its ranking. And then there was such a pushback that they put it back on, but now it's not rated number one anymore because it was off for so long. And what did they attribute it to, Adam? A miscommunication. How come there are never miscommunications, misunderstandings, or misinterpretations that negatively affect Democrats, huh?
Good question. Maybe they should play that song on a loop for the homeless, trying to scare them away, and instead they'll convert them all to MAGA Republicans.
Oh, wouldn't that be delicious? All right. Thanks for another great story. Have a great weekend. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Ross Cameron.
Australia has taken a decision in the military sphere which Australians may struggle to comprehend the significance of the step change that this decision involves. I thought I should go back just a few years to 2014. The Abbott government will select a Japanese-built Soroya-class submarine. So that's 2014. Then on April 26, 2016, French company DCNS will build Australia's $50 billion new Barracuda submarine fleet in Adelaide. So then we have round three of this extraordinary, magnificent step change in submarines, which came on the 16th of September 2021, when we learned that it was not the Japanese, not the French, but Australia is embarking on its most significant change of defence and strategic direction in decades. Prime Minister Scott Morrison said a new alliance had been formed with the UK and the US that was the most significant security development for Australia since the ANZUS Treaty. Interesting that ScoMo flipped on a dime from the commitment which we forced the French to comply with, that the submarines must not be nuclear powered.
Ross Cameron on TNT Radio.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's news talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
The left want to control what people say and think. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
My first guest tonight, Dr. Rainer Zeitelmann, is one of Germany's most distinguished historians, political scientists, and sociologists. From 1987 to 1992, Dr. Zeitelmann worked at the Central Institute for Social Science Research at the Free University of Berlin. He then became editor-in-chief of Germany's third largest book publishing group and headed various departments of the German daily newspaper Die Welt. In 2000, he set up his own business, Dr. Zeitelmann PB GmbH, which was established as the market leader for communication for real estate companies in Germany. He was awarded his second doctorate, this time in sociology, in 2016. With his thesis on the psychology of the super rich. And he's here tonight to discuss his book, In Defense of Capitalism, in which, in the first part, he lists 10 misconceptions of capitalism and then debunks each of those misconceptions. In the second part of the book, explores popular perceptions of capitalism in Europe, the USA, Latin America, and Asia, and is based on a specially commissioned poll conducted in 21 countries around the world. And the results are presented in Dr. Zeitelman's book for the very first time. Welcome to The Reckoning, Dr. Rainer Zeitelman. I guess I should say Guten Morgen, because it's just after midnight. Thank you so much for staying up late for us.
Yes, it's 20 minutes after midnight here, but if it is about defending capitalism, I'm wide awake.
Well, you look very chipper, so I look forward to a lively discussion. I love the structure of your book, how you put up 10 misconceptions of capitalism, 10 common arguments against capitalism, because we hear all the time that capitalism is causing this problem or that problem, or we're beyond capitalism, we need socialism. And then you set out to debunk each of those faulty arguments.
Yes, and someone asked me in another interview, do you believe you can convince anti-capitalists with this book? And my answer is no, I don't think so. And then he asked me, why do you write a book when you don't think that you can convince people? No, it's written for people who are pro-capitalism, pro-free market, to deliver all the facts and all the arguments. Because I don't believe that people, anti-capitalists, will buy this book or read this book. They prefer to buy maybe the new book of Bernie Sanders. I read it 3 weeks ago. It's okay to be against capitalism or all this stuff, or the new big book of Thomas Piketty. They don't really read books like this. But I think it's important to have really all the facts. And if you look in my bibliography, I used 350 books and scientific papers. I did my research. I have 900 footnotes in my book, but I think it's written in an easy way. Everyone who can understand Wall Street Journal or a newspaper like this can understand the book. And to deliver all the facts, let me give one example. The first chapter is about hunger and poverty, because this is what anti-capitalists tell us. Capitalism is to blame for hunger and poverty. And now the facts. 200 years ago, before capitalism, 90% of the worldwide population lived in extreme poverty, 90%. Today, it's less than 10%. And what's more important, half of this reduction happened over the last decades. Even in the beginning of the 80s, we had more than 40% of the people in the world living in extreme poverty. And these are news. People don't hear it at school. They hear a lot about the evils of capitalism, but they don't hear the facts. And this is the reason why I wrote this book.
Well, and that's exactly the reason why I do this radio show. My very first show back in December 2014, my father listened to the show, and I asked him afterward what he thought. And he said, it was good, but your tone, do you think you're going to change many minds with that aggressive tone? And I laughed and I said, Dad, I'm not doing this to change minds. I'm doing this to encourage people that think these things but feel as though they're alone because they've been isolated by their television tells them that they're wrong. Their friends tell them that they're wrong. I want to let them know that they're not wrong. And I want to give them arguments that they can use and information that they can use to support their positions. So we're doing the same thing in different arenas. It's interesting to me. Yeah, and I love it because I'm a scientist by training. I'm a biologist by training. And one of the things I always admire is when someone with very esoteric scientific knowledge is able to write a book popularizing science. A lot of times, people that write books popularizing a subject are dismissed. And I think that's unfair, because I think it's one of the hardest things to do is to explain very complicated material in a way that the average person can not only understand it, but make use of it. And that's what you've done in this book, Defending Capitalism.
Thank you. Yes, of course, you're right. Much easier for scientists to write in complicated language that only other scientists can understand. But I think if it's also possible to write even about things that maybe seems to be complicated in a way that it's easier to understand, even sometimes entertaining in a way. And you know, what's the good news is this book is published now in 30 different countries all over the world, and I travel everywhere and speak about this topic. And I see that it's not only the United States the problem, it's almost everywhere that capitalism is under attack. And a few weeks ago, I got the new Index of Economic Freedom from the Heritage Foundation. I don't know whether you know this index. It's a ranking how economically free are the countries in the world. And the top most economically free countries are, for example, Singapore or Switzerland. And in the end, it's, of course, Cuba, North Korea, Venezuela. And now the interesting news for the United States. It's the worst ranking for the United States since they started in 1995, the worst ranking. And what's even more really shocking, the United States is now less economically free than 16 European countries. And believe me, I'm living in Europe, and we are not economically free. We are on a, yes, we are not. But if there are today 16 countries in Europe that are much more economically free than the United States, it's crystal clear that something is goes absolutely in the wrong direction.
Something is terribly wrong here, and I want to delve into that a little bit more after the news. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio News.
We are your station for news. News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Fijian Prime Minister Sitiveni Rabuka has assured Australia that the AUKUS deal has his country's backing, following efforts by Prime Minister Anthony Albanese to ease regional concerns over the security pact. The Biden administration is significantly increasing pressure on ByteDance just days before TikTok CEO is set to testify in front of Congress. The United States government is now demanding that ByteDance sell TikTok, according to a new report in the Wall Street Journal.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
Dr. Zeitelman, you mentioned that not only is the United States ranked worst in the history of the ranking of economic freedom by the Heritage Foundation, but that we rank below 16 European nations. I've been fortunate to travel to Europe twice. I have numerous friends over my lifetime that are from Europe or that currently live in Europe. One of my best friends is a Swiss national who became a citizen here in 1966. And it scares me that we're behind these countries, because look at what the Netherlands are doing to the farmers. Look at what France is doing to the electrical workers and the gas workers. The United Kingdom has been tilting towards socialism since after the Second World War, which hence the great novel 1984. It was meant as a warning to the United Kingdom to stay away from socialism. There are parties that are actual socialist parties, Scandinavia particularly, and they haven't had great outcomes. Scandinavian countries have some of the highest suicide rates in the world. Economic power in the European Union before they came together as a unit was lacking. Italy has always, Greece has have always been economically struggling. And yet here we are, the United States, what Ronald Reagan called the shining city on a hill, has fallen to 16th or lower than 16th place. And things are clearly going in the wrong direction. We know that they're going in the wrong direction. And what's so frustrating is we know how to turn it around, But the globalist cabal with the World Economic Forum and the relations between Canada's Justin Trudeau and the Biden administration, between the Macron administration and France, the relationship that Angela Merkel had in your country with our country. It seems that there's an aggregation of power at the top, which limits the economic liberty of average citizens. Is that how you see it?
I see it's an ideology. I don't believe in something like conspiracy, but I believe that they are ideology driven, and this is the real problem. They believe that they can solve problems in the world with a kind of planned economy. And this is crazy because planned economy never solved any problem in the world. On the contrary, they caused a lot of problems in the world. I give you some example. Joe Biden and all these Democrats, they speak about climate change and this Green New Deal and all this stuff. But I don't want to discuss now about climate change. Some people believe, some people do not. But let's admit there is this problem of climate change. But if there is a problem like this, I'm 100% sure you can solve it with a planned economy. This is, for example, one chapter in my book. I show that the environmental conditions were worse in socialist countries than there are in economically free countries. And I compare, for example, East and West Germany. This is a good example because, you know, I live in Germany and we had this East Germany socialism, West Germany capitalism, and you can compare it. The same country, the same history, the same people, the same language, only different economic systems. And if you look, for example, the environment, CO2 emissions were three times higher in East Germany than in West Germany, and sulfur dioxide, air pollutants, 10 times higher in East Germany than in West Germany. And so I think this ideology that people believe they can solve problems with a planned economy, this is totally crazy. They will make problems worse. And what I don't understand, look, socialism failed time and again. In the last 100 years, they tried it 24 times. In North Korea in another way than in Cuba, in China in another way than in Soviet Union, in Albania in another way than in Yugoslavia. They tried it in so many ways, but it failed time and again. And now someone like Bernie Sanders, I read his last book, tells us, for example, crazy things like, we should abolish all billionaires in the United States. We should get rid of all billionaires in the United States. I will tell you something. Do you know what are the only countries in the world without billionaires? These are countries like North Korea, Cuba, or the poorest African countries. So if Bernie Sanders tells us we should get rid of all billionaires, it means we should make from United States a socialist or country as poor as African countries. Even in Sweden, you mentioned Sweden. I tell you something. The percentage of billionaires in Sweden is 60% higher than in the United States, adjusted to population, of course. So even in Sweden, and Bernie Sanders told us about Scandinavian socialism and all this stuff. No, even Sweden is now in the ranking of the economically free countries, place 10, and United States ranked 25. And if he tells us we should abolish all billionaires, think about it. I think United States should be proud that you have so many people who created. Maybe you don't like Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates, but of course you have to admit they have created huge companies like Amazon, like Microsoft, and United States should be proud to have such people and not think about how to abolish and how to get rid of them. Other countries would be happy to have such people who created, or like Google, like this Larry Page or Sergey Brin, this kind of companies.
Well, that employed tens of thousands of people. Let's not make a mistake. I have no problem with anybody becoming a billionaire because that means that they've employed an awful lot of people. They've paid an awful lot of taxes in order to get to where they are.
And not only this, think about how does someone become rich in a capitalist country. This is what anti-capitalists don't understand. They believe in something that I call the zero-sum thinking. They believe people can only get rich because they take something away from the poor. And this is totally crazy. No, capitalism means your democracy, because you and I, we consumers, decide every day whether someone becomes rich or not. If you use Google, you make, in this moment, Larry Page and Sasha Brin richer. And if you use Amazon, then in this moment, you make a decision to make Jeff Bezos richer. This is very easy. So it's democracy. We decide
it who sure becomes is. Rich
and not. And this is what anti-capitalists not understand. And the zero-sum thinking, I have a chapter about this, why it's crazy. Here, I told you that the number of people living in extreme poverty in the world is reduced in the last decades from 43 to less than 10%. The same time, the number of billionaires increased. In 2000, we had 500 billionaires. Today, we have 2,700 billionaires in the world. When at the same time, the number of people living in poverty decreased and the number of billionaires increased. Then you see, zero-sum thinking is totally nonsense.
It is. They have no conception that the pie can be made larger. As Thomas, the great economist Thomas Sowell said, capitalism has been the greatest wealth creation engine in the history of mankind. And I thank you so much for staying up late to come on our show and talking about your book, In Defense of Capitalism. Folks, I strongly recommend this book if you really want to understand the arguments against capitalism and get information on how to debunk those faulty arguments. Dr. Zeitelman's book is one of the best out there.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Zeitelman. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather
with reality and perspective.
I never delete bad forecasts. And on Twitter, you could go back and look and you say, well, that's a bad forecast. But I leave them up there. You know why? Because your mistakes, a lot of times, will teach you something different. So you learn something. So I don't delete it. I let people see it. For instance, this storm last week dissected that pattern from February. Went 100 miles further north. They got no snow in New York City. Got 3 feet of snow 100 miles north of New York City. Oh, well, what's 3 feet of snow among friends? However, you'll find that climate activists tend to delete their tweets. Of course, the most well-known climate activist, besides Al Gore, is Greta Thunberg. And apparently, she deleted this tweet. Climate activist Greta Thunberg has clandestinely deleted a 2018 tweet that claimed mankind will go extinct unless humans stop using fossil fuels by 2023. Well, let me just say, if you're hearing my voice, I am pleased to say that you are not extinct and you are still alive. And I'm going to leave you with a Hungarian proverb, because someone sent me this morning. I thought it was a pretty cool proverb. A liar is caught sooner than a lame dog. Well, that's interesting. Think about that. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog, and I'm not a lame dog, Joe Bastardi, and I'm not a liar either. Asking you to enjoy the weather, it's the only weather you got.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
My next guest, Nick Black, is one of our DeploymentCigars.com Black Budget operators. He is a salesman that traverses the nation from coast to coast and collects stories along the way. He is a veteran and is here to share with us some of the knowledge he has gained over his career. Welcome to The Reckoning, Nick Black.
Thank you very much. How's it going, Tim?
It's going very well, Nick. So what are you seeing out there? You've been in the heartland. You've been out to the coast. What are you noticing in Joe Biden's America?
I'm going to tell you what, I was in 39 states last year. I still have yet to meet, I think I've met one actual Joe Biden voter supporter. So I want to know where the 81 million are. It's been,
well, I think a lot of them have fake accounts on Twitter. I think a lot of those fake accounts registered to vote.
Well, either that or, you know, they're dead Republicans.
Right.
But,
there's a problem with philanthropy in this country. Andrew Carnegie, of course, amazing capitalist and donated back a lot of public libraries. My hometown of Syracuse, New York, is, I believe, one of the only cities that has two Carnegie libraries. There's one downtown public library, but then he also endowed a library at Syracuse University up on the hill. And of course, the Carnegie Mellon University was big in education, but his foundation was hijacked by leftists. Henry Ford's foundation was hijacked by leftists. John C. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, a catalyst for change, that's been hijacked. So John Olin had a great idea. He saw what happened to philanthropical foundations, and he put a sunset clause on his. So I think it was 20 or 25 years after he died, the foundation could support very clearly defined and limited activities, things that it could support. And at the end of the sunset period, when the sunset clause kicked in, all the holdings of all the stocks, all the everything in the foundation was to be liquidated, and the corpus was to be used to establish a college of engineering. So Babson College is perhaps the greatest college in America to go study entrepreneurship, and that's in Wellesley, Massachusetts, and it borders the Needham line. And so the Olin College of Engineering was established in Needham, right across the line. There's a beautiful parcel of land. So they bought that and they made a college. And the two colleges work together. If you want to take some engineering or math classes that aren't offered at Babson, you can take them at Olin. All the students at Olin will take their humanities classes, their English, their history, whatever, at Babson. And the beauty is that there's, like Cooper Union in New York City, no tuition at the Olin College of Engineering, because he wanted to make an opportunity to have a career in engineering available to everyone. So there's a lot of great forward thinking like that by people that look at what the left does. And you got to, you know, they used to say, they asked Satchel Paige how he was able to be so fast. And he always said, don't look back. Somebody might be gaining on you. And I believe it's also he that said, I just had to outquicken them. So that's what we have to do with the left. We've got to outquicken them. We've got to outthink them. We've got to outstrategize them. And I think if we do that, we're going to be in good shape. But you're visiting 39 states in a corporate capacity, right?
Yes. I've got.
So what are you finding in your clients? What are you finding with DEI, ESG, all this woke nonsense that's going on in corporations? How's that impacted your customer base?
Well, it's definitely because I've got a little bit of a dark humor, and I'm, you know, I speak like 30 degrees of sarcasm. I've really had to downplay it. I've actually gotten a call from HR once over, I can't remember what exactly the comment was, but, you know, so somebody said, oh, you're fine. You know, as I said, excuse me. I made the smart ass comment. Yeah, I think I've been told that once or twice. I guess it escalated. I didn't even think, you know, nothing of it, but, you know, simple comments like that. Now you got to walk around, look at the ground. You can't, you know, I've heard from some of them, the other people in my field that, you know, you looked at me and it made me feel uncomfortable. I mean, seriously? I mean, what are we supposed to do? I'll walk around, you know, wearing dark sunglasses, carrying canes. They don't look, you know, I don't know.
As we all learned in the schoolyard, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will surely kill me.
This is very true. This is very true. And I was stuck out in California for the better part of what, 3 months last year. And yeah, it's like just trying to deal with people. It's like, you know, even I had a simple job. All I had to do was walk around and test wireless signals. And I actually had a manager that called his boss and said he didn't feel safe with me being there because I'm a big 6'6", you know, big guy. He felt intimidated or something.
When was it instilled in them that they had a constitutional right not to be offended?
I don't know. You know, the thing that, you know, it's especially, you know, I know I'm in my 40s, you know, and I know I've grown up, you know, in a wide array and I've lived all over the country, but it's like everybody is going out there and looking for a reason to be offended. I mean, it's like I just seen a blip this morning, you know, scrolling through some news stories. Somebody is actually suing Buffalo Wild Wings over boneless wings. I mean, seriously, this is a real case.
Wait, what are they alleging, that they're from crippled buffaloes or something?
well, they're claiming they're chicken nuggets and not boneless wings.
No,
I mean,
it's just the wing without the bone.
I mean, I don't know.
Typically,
I mean,
what they typically use for boneless wings, it's the same thing as chicken fingers, right? They use that little flap from the chicken breast. That's typically what they use, but they cut it in half, so it's not a full finger. You're just getting a couple joints there. Maybe they ought to do that, Nick. Maybe they ought to call them chicken joints, and then all the weed heads will be happy, and you know, they can toke up, and then, you know, do a couple bowls, and then they can get their hunger on.
I mean, it sounds like a good idea. I mean, I just don't get it. It's like everything now is, how am I offended, and how can I get a lawsuit out of it? I'm going to get rich quick.
Right. Yeah. Nobody wants to work anymore unless you're in one of these non-jobs, like a DEI assistant deputy director for DEI compliance. That's the sum and substance of these folks' life skills, right? I attribute it, Nick, to a marked lack of swirlies in the elementary educational system. We need to bring back the swirly.
I think you're right. You know, hey, even being a big guy, because I was scrawny in school, I even got stuffed in a locker and an occasional trash can just because I couldn't build mass. I was one of those guys that no matter how hard I worked, you know, it's, you know, joined the Army after high school, and then I really bulked up. But yeah, you know.
Well, you bulked up. I never did. I'm 60 years old, and I'm a little thicker around the middle, but my shoulders are still 42.
Well, I actually turned the being bullied into a positive. I've actually, you know, joined the security realm, and I've done security all over the country now. So, yeah. You know, for different
events.
Well,
you are also, I can't let it slide that you are my hero as a salesman, because you actually got your wife to let you name your son Johnny Walker Black.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. You know, but we were the only two people to work out with. Her main name was Walker. My last name is Black. And it just so happens that, you know, in her... her great-grandfather was actually Johnny Walker and died when she was 8, and she had this fond memory of him. So, yeah, it was kind of partially
so
her
there you
idea.
Go. Yeah, the terrain had been pre-cleared for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, the funny thing
and
is...
And you were covered, because if the kid came out of ginger, you were covered that way, right? Because then he'd just be Red Walker Black.
Oh, definitely. Or over Johnny Walker Red.
Yeah, Johnny Walker Red.
You know, yeah.
It's good stuff. But you're getting back to our topic, though. It is, I just had Dr. Rainer Zittelmann from Germany on in discussing his great book, In Defense of Capitalism. America is now 25th in the Index of Economic Liberty that's put out by the Heritage Foundation. We're below 16 European countries. Imagine that. With all the problems that Europe has and all the... But it's true. I live here in upstate New York, and you cannot turn around without running into a regulation, a rule, an ordinance, a bylaw. But you know what the biggest lie in America is? That Florida is our freest state. I spent 2 months down in Florida in 2020-21, you know, December of 20 to March of 21. And it was no different down in the Tampa area with regard to the mask mandates, with regard to all the BS, than it was up here in New York State. The only difference really were the gun laws, but that didn't affect me because I was just visiting there. But Florida's, you know, Ron DeSantis was on the stage at CPAC in 2021 in Orlando declaring that Florida's open for business, and not 40 feet away out in the hallway was a woman harassing me for not wearing a mask.
Well, and, you know, I live right outside of Chicago. I got smart and moved over into Indiana. Indiana is like this, you know, unknown place, I'm finding out, because we didn't, I noticed we didn't adhere to all the regulations or whatnot. In fact, we opened up our restaurants and whatnot after about 2 or 3 weeks because the state finally came to the conclusion, nobody's going to survive if we're all sitting at home. You know, our economy is going to die. So,
yeah, well, that
was
the plan. Yeah.
Well, no, exactly. So, yeah, but word spread, and, you know, it's amazing how everybody from Illinois who was all in lockdown, can't leave your house, can't go outside, can't go to the beach, they all fled to Indiana, even though they hate us over here because we're just all a bunch of hillbilly rednecks. But
yeah, I've got a friend that lives in Schererville there just south of Gary, and she says the same thing. It's all the benefits of living close to Chicago with none of the downside, and I've got friends down in Indianapolis and elsewhere in Indiana, and they just love that state. Unfortunately, it gave us Mike Pence, but we're not going to hold that against you, considering who's come out of New York lately.
You know, the thing is, Mike Pence actually did well for the state. I thought he was going to do a lot better when, you know, but, you know, we're one of the few states that we still have, we're operating with a surplus still. So I'm going to take
I love
that.
Your new governor. Yep. Holcomb.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, Pence was good until he wasn't good. I didn't I'll be perfectly honest with you. What initially raised my concerns was when I found out that he had abandoned the Catholic Church for an evangelical church, which is a naked pandering to voters. And then he threw that pizza parlor owner under the bus after defending. As soon as there was the slightest bit of pushback, Mike caved like a plastic chair.
Yeah, blew away like a dandelion.
But all in all, as you said, you're in your 40s. I turn 61 next week. I remain bullish on America. How about you?
You know what? I've spent a lot of time in other countries. You know what? I'm still thinking that we live in the best place on earth. We just got to try and save it because I don't want there to come here and make here there is what I'm scared of. So.
And the last 3 years have been nothing but an overt attempt to do exactly that, which is why we fight back. We need you to get your travel schedule to swing you into the Hudson River Valley in May for our great deployment cigar Smoke on the Hudson dinner in mid-May. That's going to be a great night. We'd love to have you there.
You know what? I will do everything I can to try and make it there. I'll see how my schedule's working. I'm, you know. It's a little unpredictable right now because, as you know, Biden's economic that's booming keeps crashing. And, I'm just waiting on contracts to come through. They keep getting pushed back. So,
yeah, this is it's an incredible economy when banks are failing, isn't it? But I'll tell you, it's the best gosh darn economy. Oh, it's just going great, says Joe,
you know,
right before he falls down the stairs.
Wait, isn't that what, don't banks start failing when the, you know, the CEO of the bank cashes in his stock options and then they have a run on the bank the day before for like, what? I don't know. I've seen different figures, but something like 40 billion or was it 40 billion or 400 billion that was taken out on Thursday before the SBC crashed, you know?
Yeah.
And how did everybody know?
And all the bonuses paid that Friday, and it's just crazy. Well, Nick, can't thank you enough for coming on The Reckoning. Have a great weekend. We'll see you, April 27th at the DeploymentCigar.com Bourbon and Cigar Tasting. Folks, you can go to DeploymentCigar.com. That's going to benefit our great veterans like Nick Black. Take care. God bless. Until next time, God bless you. God bless these United States. Keep fighting the good fight.